This is The Recap, a review of the day's news in the Tri-States area for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. With Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Mike Murray. HOPE Initiative is hoping to spread resources to people in the Galesburg area who need them. Tri-States Public Radio's Eleanor Lindenmeyer has our story.
Outside a warehouse on Seminary and 3rd Streets, people line up in cars, waiting for their share of 275 free boxes of food. HOPE Initiative's team of 93 volunteers distributes free boxes of food to community members in need every third Thursday evening from 5 to 7. Jeff Morrow is director of HOPE Initiative and pastor at Calvary Assembly Church.
People will pull up. There's no registration. You don't have to know your name. You don't have to qualify. They'll pop that trunk, we'll put the box in and let them drive away.
The warehouse is next to the old rescue mission. The property is owned by Graham Health System, which will use the front half to open a new primary care clinic on the city's south side. Graham lets HOPE Initiative use the other half at no cost. Calvary Assembly Church runs the initiative with the support of Convoy of Hope, an international humanitarian organization. Calvary has worked previously with Convoy of Hope on mission trips to rural Illinois. Vanessa Rakesh is one of the HOPE Initiative coordinators. She says Convoy of Hope approached Calvary in January to get the program going in Galesburg.
We are the second church in the nation to be a part of this pilot program that they have called Community Care. So we provide the warehouse and they come and fill it up each month for free.
Other nonprofits in Galesburg can also benefit from this program. They can sign up to be partners with HOPE Initiative and receive some of the resources to help spread them further into the community. HOPE Initiative currently has 32 partner agencies in Galesburg. I'm Eleanor Lindenmeyer.
The Iowa legislature has approved up to $8 million for Governor Kim Reynolds' proposed Thrive Iowa program as part of the state health budget. Iowa Public Radio's Katerina Sestarik reports.
Reynolds' Thrive Iowa proposal was modeled after a similar program in Florida. In her Condition of the State address, Reynolds said navigators in the program will help low-income Iowans become self-sufficient. Democratic Senator Sarah Trone Garriott says the United Way already operates the 211 referral service for $2 million.
So it doesn't make sense to me to start a brand new program when the one we have right now, right here, is already doing this work, especially when it's going to cost up to $8 million. $8 million for them to do the same thing. That sounds like a really bad deal for Iowans.
Republican Senator Mark Costello says the human element of having navigators helping people as part of the Thrive Iowa program will make a difference. I'm Katerina Sestarik, IPR News.
The head of the Burlington Greater Partnership is stepping down. President and CEO Della Schmidt is taking a position in Minnesota after leading the organization since 2019. The Greater Burlington Partnership includes the Chamber of Commerce, Convention and Visitors Bureau, Downtown Partners, and economic development efforts. The organization will launch a search for a new president this spring. Illinois lawmakers are trying to regulate an industry that could be taking customers out of cannabis dispensaries. Illinois Public Radio's Alex Degman has this.
Hemp products sold in Illinois are not regulated. A measure from Democratic State Senator Kimberly Lightford would establish standards for licensing, testing, labeling, and safety. Delta 8 products would effectively be banned. Delta 8 is a synthetic compound that mimics marijuana, but because it's derived from hemp, can be sold at places like gas stations. There are no age restrictions. Tiffany Chappelle Ingram, executive director of the Cannabis Business Association of Illinois, says hemp should be regulated like marijuana.
You know, you can't have runaway potency. There's certain ingredients you can use. There's certain testing protocols. There's tracing that's involved. All of those things to keep the product safe.
The measure was just filed. It's still waiting for a committee assignment. I'm Alex Degman.
The Illinois Senate passed two bills aimed at preventing minors from accessing vape products. Illinois Public Radio's Jade Marceau reports.
One measure will forbid the shipping of electronic cigarettes purchased by mail or online to anyone in Illinois, except for places that sell or distribute them. Another will ban the marketing and promotion of e-cigarettes people could mistake for items that are not tobacco, such as lighters or other school supplies. Democratic Illinois Senator Julie Morrison of Lake Forest is a bill sponsor. She says the bills are about protecting minors.
The dangerous and addictive nature of nicotine consumption is the reason I've taken a strong stand on this issue. We should do everything in our power to make it impossible for children to obtain and conceal tobacco products.
The bills now move to the House. I'm Jane Marceau.
For the first time since the 19th century, a Native American tribe has sovereign authority over land in the state of Illinois. The chief executive of the Prairie Band Potawatomi signed a deed that puts the 130 acres of farmland in DeKalb County into a federal trust. Tribal leaders say the land was sold illegally in 1850 while the chief was away visiting other tribal territories in Kansas. Now the tribal government has to figure out what to do with the land. In our feature for today, combine classical music with hip-hop, throw in a bit of dance, and what do you get? An audience in southeast Iowa is about to find out. Tri-State's Public Radio's Rich Egger has our story.
Hip-Hop Orchestra Experience will collaborate with the Southeast Iowa Symphony Orchestra for an upcoming show. Juwan Kim is Artistic Director for Hip-Hop Orchestra Experience. Kim says while a graduate student, he got fed up with what he calls the oppressive aesthetic of concert music, so he created a chamber ensemble that included an MC. That upset his instructors, which he expected.
But what I didn't expect was a really massive reaction that was very positive from the audience.
The MC suggested doing an album, and that's the genesis of Hip Hop Orchestra Experience.
These are all original compositions, and among them are deconstructions of the works by Mozart, Beethoven, Bach. We take the very familiar tunes and then stretch them and then change them.
I got no words about how we got a verse around the world, the same song, but now I got a verse. While the streets holler, a corpse sleeps out of her soul. Shit is me, why my dreams gotten worse.
Kim says they have a real 25-piece orchestra playing, and there's a featured dancer on stage who punctuates key moments during the performance. Kim emphasizes the orchestra is not just background music. He says it's a true melding of musical styles, an American phenomenon, much like jazz.
Jazz began as sort of interpretation of classical music at first. And then it blossom into, by the time the bebop happens, it's completely different sort of, you know, sophistication. I think that this is the continuation of classical music, but then on the, you know, on the way we met MCs and start partying with them, and then we just got somewhere else.
The orchestra has employed several resident MCs through the years. Unity Lewis currently holds the title. He says when orchestra leaders have a song they want him to add to, they send the composition and notes about what the topic is. How challenging is this for him?
It's more so fun than difficult, and it's a great challenge. It's an exciting and fun game almost to play with the music for me. It's a great challenge.
Lewis believes hip-hop has become part of the culture because, he says, one of the most direct ways to transmit a message is through music.
It's literally like I'm talking to you, or I'm preaching to you, or I'm delivering like Malcolm X or an activist, or, you know, just from a podium where you're right here with me.
Lewis says hip-hop is rooted in the art of sampling and multiculturalism in the sense that it takes a little bit from all over the world and repurposes it into music. He says that's why hip-hop has made such a big impact, and it's constantly transforming into new things, such as what they're doing with Hip-Hop Orchestra Experience. The Southeast Iowa performance will be on May 3rd at the Fairfield Arts and Convention Center. Executive Director Lindsay Bauer says they had no trouble getting the Southeast Iowa Symphony Orchestra interested in the project.
They were excited from day one. It took a while for them to understand what it was that we were talking about, I would say. But I think that that's normal for a project that is this new, that is this different from anything else we've ever done or with anything else that they've ever done.
Faces of the murdered beyond shirts, the quick and the dead, that we peel off curves, the streets with those
Bauer has watched video of hip-hop orchestra experience and says the entire production felt fresh and edgy, and she knew she had to bring the orchestra to Southeast Iowa. Bauer says it's important to look for what's new and alive in the moment in art and music. She says that should not be limited just to large population centers, but that audiences in rural areas should get to enjoy these experiences too. Rich Egger reporting.
In the weather for our listening area for today, it should be sunny with a high in the low 60s and northeasterly winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly clear with a low in the upper 30s. For TSPR News, I'm Mike Murray. Tri-State's Public Radio is part of the NPR network.